Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today is program number 357. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how. Four different ways at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want an audio tape or a CD. It's absolutely free, no cost either for shipping and handling, all right? And we have a lot of Bible reading today and a message. We have testimonies and we've got some music. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. Father, we're living in the last days. We're living in perilous times. And there's a lot of people that would like to know how to get a mindset of how to be able to cope with all the persecutions and all the tribulations today and all the fears that people have. They're possessed with fear. Lord, there is a secret on how to arrange your mind to get a mindset to be able to cope with everything that's going on today. It's very possible for people to put an end to depression, despair. It's very simple if they have the mindset, put on the mind of Christ, to eliminate drugs, the idea of suicide, to completely be free from alcohol, to completely annihilate or separate themselves from different diversions in this world, such as sports, the internet, the blues, the blahs, pain. They can be completely healed from pain. They can be delivered from the despair and depression from false accusations and all the liars in this world. They can be delivered from sickness, disease, infirmities, misery of all kinds, lost loved ones to the depression and despair of losing someone you love, or separations, divorces. All the devils and demons are under our feet. We are able to cope with those that hate us. We're living in dangerous times. The worries, the Lord doesn't tell us to worry without ceasing. Lord, you don't tell us to do that. You tell us to pray without ceasing. Depression and despair from a lack of money. And all the trials and tribulations in this world, we're able to cope with it. And this message today will show people how to do that. Pray that, Lord, you use my mouth in such an artful way that people will know without a shadow of doubt how to rid themselves from all these different things, and that they can live an overcoming life. There's people that don't really, preachers and teachers don't talk on that very much. They say that we can overcome all things in Christ, but they don't tell you people out in radio land, they don't tell the people in radio land or out in the world how. But Lord, I pray that you will tell them how today. This is the message that you've laid on my heart, that souls may, the suicide will be put to an end, and the drugs and despair and discouragements, and people that have lacks of every kind, that it'll be done away with, and that the souls may be saved in the world to receive this wonderful power, this mindset, to have the mind of Christ. You've commanded us to put on the mind of Christ, and so we are the ones that have to do that. We can't do that. That the souls will be saved in the world and the church strengthened. I ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, his name is, the Bible says that the name of the Lord is the Word of God. And that's the Word of God is what strengthens us and gives us the instructions to do away with all these different problems that people have today, the depression, this despair, and the blues, everything that people are suffering today, the Word of God tells us how. So his name, the Bible says, is the Word of God. And here I am to sing His name. The Word of God is wonderful. All right?
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King. Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd. A rock of all ages, Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
Praise the Lord. The Word of God is, a lot of people say it's a love letter. Well, love is the keeping of God's commandments, and we don't know what the commandments are unless we read the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us how we must give ourselves as living sacrifices unto the Lord because it's our reasonable duty. It also tells us how we can eliminate pressure. We have this pressure all around in this world today, and how we can overcome. We can go through persecution just like a hot knife through butter. The Bible tells us that we can be cast down, but we're not forsaken, because the Lord is always with us. But we have to have the mindset that the Old Testament gives type or a symbol or a figure of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the fact that He sacrificed Himself for us. There was, the Bible states that it's our reasonable duty to sacrifice ourselves so far as leaving the old life, actually abandoning everything in the old life that we lived before. And the only way that we're going to be able to go through all the different problems that people have today is to do that, to become as like a heap of ashes before the Lord. And the Bible says that when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we're accepting God's life. In other words, if we want His life to live in us, then we must forsake our worthless life. And it doesn't mean that there's things that we can't do, but it certainly doesn't mean that we're going to be enjoying everyday life with Joyce Myers, because these people, there's a lot of preachers today, they're just preaching a flowery type message, and it's leading people straight into hell. We must deny ourselves and take up the cross, and that's the only way to cope with the problems that people have today. We have to become mortal. We have to become dead to this world. Because if we don't, the world is going to pull us and keep us in the world. And we can't enjoy or have part of the world to come, the kingdom of heaven, unless we forsake this world. You can't have two worlds. We're in the world, but we're not a part of it. The Bible tells us. So the parables, it's not really parables. It was the law of sacrifices that people had to bring an animal and have it destroyed and burnt as a sweet-smelling savor, so that you can no longer recognize the animal as an animal, because all it just winds up being a heap of ashes. And so when we have, we look into a casket of somebody that's dead, and you could talk all day long to try to depress them, but they can't be depressed because they're dead. Amen?
Amen.
They're dead to this world, but they are either in heaven or hell. And you could try to cause them despair or try to get them hooked on drugs or alcohol or try to get them to commit suicide. If they did commit suicide, well, they're not in a very good place right now. Or if you tried to interest them into sports or the internet, or if, you try to make them feel blue or have the blahs, they can't do it. You can't do it. You can't give them any pain. Amen?
Amen.
Because they are dead. And the Lord wants us to set our mind that we are dead. We have to do that. He tells us, the Bible tells us, for us to put on the mind of Christ. We have to physically picture ourselves as to this world, as there's nothing that can depress us, nothing that can cause despair, because you put a circle around it and draw a line through it. The false accusations, there's like whole the whole world is just like has been accusing me from the first day that I got saved until right up to now. That's 42 years of false accusations. Unless I had the mindset that I don't care what the world says about me or does to me, I'm going to continue on being with the Lord. I'm not going to let anybody or anything, liars or any of these, if I catch some kind of a disease, a sickness or infirmity, that's not going to buckle me under, because I'm dead. And besides, I have healing with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
He heals all our sicknesses, disease, and infirmities. And so if misery tries to come my way, I just say, you can't cause me to have misery because I'm dead. I'm a heap of ashes. I'm like one of the virgin sacrifices. I am dead. I'm nailed to the cross with Christ. And the Lord told me to continue taking up the cross and follow Him. If you can picture yourself and you get your mind set on that's what you're going to do, if you don't do that, you will never make it. Because there's always something that Satan will bring to you to try to lure you into one of these different things. As a matter of fact, sometimes there's separations in our lives, divorces. These devils and demons and haters of those that are godly. And when a lost loved one, if you know that they're saved and they're in heaven, there's this, you're dead to that. You just miss them, but you can't keep your mind on that. You have to keep carrying the cross, deny yourself any of these feelings, feelings. We don't walk by feelings or sight, do we?
No.
We walk by faith. Okay, the Lord tells us to be a living sacrifice. We're living in dangerous times. There's drive-by shootings. You can't worry about that, because if you are have that mindset, if a bullet hits you in the brain, or you're like the other day, there was a little girl, a baby, that some guy down in Watts or a couple of young boys stuck rifles out of the window, and they just riddled this car full of bullets. And the little girl had shrapnel in her brain, and she was about 16 or 18 months old, and she died. And it's just senseless killings. The little girl never did anything wrong, but she's in heaven according to the Word of God. And so people have all these worries, but the Lord says he doesn't tell you to worry. He says he's for you to pray and lead, guide, and direct you, so you don't run into these problems. And if you have a lack of money, all you have to do is the Lord feeds the little sparrows, and he'll feed you as well. If you have a lack of money, you could call a true Christian church, and they'll give you, if you have need of food or clothing or anything like that, or even a place to stay, we'll find a place for you. If you want to serve the Lord, you just come on down, and if you keep the rules, then everything will be fine. There's all kinds of trials and tribulations in this world, but we must come to grips with the actuality. We have to make our mind. We have to put on the mind of Christ. Christ didn't worry about going to the cross. He prayed that if there's any other way that people can be saved other than him going to the cross. He carried the cross all of his life, and then he was crucified on the cross. And if he would have backed down, there's no way that we could be saved today. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we'll get into that a little bit more, but we've got a couple of testimonials here. So where's the first one from?
From Los Rios, Ecuador. Dear Pastor Alamo, may the grace of God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and the communion of the glorious Holy Spirit be in your life, church, and ministry.
Okay, now the grace of God actually means the power of God. May the power of God be with you. Okay, because if you have the power of God, there isn't anything in the world that is worth worrying about, because you know if God is with you, who or what could be against you? Amen?
Amen.
We can just go through trials and tribulations just to know that the Lord is with you. Okay, and then what?
With much pleasure, I submit this letter expressing my sincere gratefulness to your edifying and blessed ministry, which is a great blessing to all those who read your newsletters and other writings and hear the messages on cassette. They bring the message of the Word of God to light. May the Almighty Lord continue to enrich you more with his revealed Word. Your messages are widespread in my area as well as in other places.
Where is this from?
Ecuador, Los Rios.
Ecuador. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Where's that, by the equator? I mean, we get letters from so many different places that I don't even, some of the places I've never even heard of in my entire life. And that's how rapidly the Word of God is spreading in these last days, because the Lord's coming back to earth again.
Amen.
And he wants everybody to hear the gospel. He wants everybody to know how to put on the mind of Christ and how to not to think that you're losing anything by denying yourself the things, the actual worldly life that you were living before, but that you are taking up the cross. And it's such a pleasure to know that what the Lord has instructed us to do, that we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we have peace of mind when we're doing that. Unless you do that, you'll never have peace of mind. Okay, then what else?
We also express our gratitude for the gifts that were sent for the children in our community. They were distributed in a very happy meeting. We first held a service with the children and their parents, then we gave them some refreshments, and lastly, the gifts which came from the Tony Lamo Christian Ministries in the USA. We pray for you, appreciated servant of the Lord, as well as for all of your Christian ministries. Our desire is that the Lord may continue to pour his infinite power upon you. Please send us more literature and newsletters for distribution. Fraternally in Christ, Juan from Babahoyo, Los Rios, Ecuador.
Okay, and we have another one?
Yes.
Actually, we have thousands of them, but
Amen.
We only allowed by the Holy Spirit today to read these two. I know the Lord wouldn't mind if we read more, but the message is important too. Mm-hmm. All right, then what?
From Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor, I am very grateful to write you this letter. I know by the grace, power of the Almighty God, you are very well. The purpose for writing you this letter is to tell you what God has done in my life through you, and to request for a Bible and your book entitled The Messiah. I am a boy of 16 years of age, and I am sorry to say that I am an orphan. I lost both my parents while I was still young. I did not know God since the beginning of my life.
See, I mean, this boy is... there's a lot of things in this world. He could be bitter, but he's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is now wanting to better himself. He wants to learn how to deny himself the old life of bitterness and hatred and despair and all these things, and he wants to serve the Lord now. He doesn't... He knows that there's so much benefits in the commonwealth of the Lord that he just wants to learn all about that, and then he'll be very happy. Okay, then what?
I did not know God since the beginning of my life until a friend known as Adam gave me a copy of your literature. After studying it carefully, I found that I was totally lost, and I had to give myself to Christ. In fact, I gave myself to Christ on January 5th. I do not have any good books that will help me build my faith in Christ up, so I am therefore humbly requesting that you try your very best to send me a copy of a Bible and your book, The Messiah, and any other books that will help me remain steadfast in the Lord. I would be happy if my letter is given immediate attention. Hoping to hear from you soon, thank you. Yours faithfully, Emmanuel from Axing, Ghana, Africa.
All right, well, make sure that this boy receives everything that we have in. If he needs a tape player or a CD player, we'll give him one of those and put him on the list to get those every day.
Yes.
All right. And so now, Sharon, would you read, please, the 12th chapter of Romans, verse 1?
I beseech you, therefore, brethren.
This is the Apostle Paul talking. He's talking to born-again Christians because the people in the world do not understand this message that I'm bringing today. They just can't see leaving the filth, the corruption, and all the things in this world. What Paul is saying here is for only the Christian. And the unsaved are supposed to listen to it, but they are not really capable or desirous to leave the world for so that they can have an eternity in the most beautiful place in the universe. Okay, go ahead.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Right there, he says you have to be holy. And then in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, I don't know if you remember, but we read part of that the other day, where the Lord is talking to this church, and the church, it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. Seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, who he also walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which are the seven churches. And he brags on this church. He says, I know your works and your labor. So a lot of people are preaching today that we don't have to do work, but this is the last book of the Bible, and the Lord here is saying that he knows that our work, because our work is to preach the gospel and to put together, to help put together by the Spirit of the Lord, the body of Christ or the New Jerusalem. And he says that he also knows our labor and thy patience. Now, patience is a virtue. And you know how you get patience? The Bible says patience comes by tribulation. Tribulation works patience. if you have to go through all kinds of problems in this world, just thank and praise the Lord, because if you pray for patience, you're going to get some tribulations. And then he says, and I know how thou cannot bear them who are evil, and thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles. You see, so many people today that say that they're apostles and they're preachers of God, but the Bible says that they're actually angels, that's demonic angels, imps, demons that are standing in the pulpit pretending to be leading people astray. So he says, and you hate those that say they are apostles and are not, they're phonies, and has found them liars. Ooh, Jesus calls people liars. Yes, he does. Mm-hmm. He calls them snakes, vipers, pigs, dogs. And has born and has, let's see, and has born and has patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and has not fainted. In other words, he didn't give up the salvation to fall back into the world. But as perfect as this particular church seems, the Lord still, this goes to show that you must be absolutely perfect to get into the kingdom of heaven. He says, and you haven't fainted, but there's something. Nevertheless, I have something against thee. And what could that be? Because thou hast left thy first love. So he's saying, you know, when you first got saved, you were out there wallpapering the earth. You were doing everything, and you better not faint. So the Lord tells you to remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember what got into you, what temptation. Did despair or any of these things that I read to you before or told you before, did they get to you? Did despair? Did some kind of infirmity? Did depression get you? Remember what caused you to fall. Did you get tempted to say, well, I just can't stand the things today, and God understands, and if I get into drugs or alcohol, and if I just try to get into, just pay attention to sports or music and get my mind, or to just watch TV all day instead of going out there and winning souls? You did a lot of good, but what about now? Did the blues get you down? Did the blahs get you down? You got some kind of pain, and that's why you went on to pills rather than pray to the Lord and get prayed for so that the pain will go away? Did somebody falsely accuse you of something or lie about you? Do you have some kind of sickness, disease, infirmities, and you're not trusting the Lord to heal you? What kind of misery caused you to fall away? Now let's go back and remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. I mean, you better repent, the Lord says, and do the first works. Get out there, forget about yourself, become a heap of ashes, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow the Lord. Because he did that, and now he says it's your reasonable duty. And the Lord says, if you don't, I will come unto thee quickly. If I know in your soul that you are rejecting what I'm saying here, I'm going to come to you quickly, and I will remove your church, thy candlestick, out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds, he doesn't hate the Nicolaitans, but he hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which is the Vatican. which the Lord says, I also hate their deeds. I don't hate them. We want Catholics to be saved, born again. So he says, those of you that have an ear, you better hear what the Holy Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life. And that's Jesus. You must keep eating from the tree of life, reading the word of God, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That's the kingdom of heaven. And you'll be able to be there for the rest of for all of eternity. And eternity, you know, never ends. So we don't want to see anybody go to hell and then be tossed into the lake of fire where there's nothing but torment for eternity. So it doesn't matter. There's all kinds of people that hate me. You know why? Because I tell them, they say that I'm attacking the Catholic Church. I am not hating the Nicolaitans, the Catholics, or any other religion, but I just hate their deeds because they're just unscriptural. And they'll take people's souls to hell. We're living in dangerous times because people love their own selves rather than becoming heaps of ashes, rather than denying themselves and taking up the cross and following the Lord. And they're full of worries rather than prayer. The Lord says, remember from where you have fallen. Don't be full of worry. Worry doesn't do you any good. Worry doesn't put any money in the bank, but the Lord says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Seek me and you'll find the way, the truth, the life, finances, all the different things that the Lord promises those that are His. And, you know, you won't have any lack of money. There isn't anybody in our church that ever lacks food. And the church pays the utility bills of everybody, and there's living places given to them for absolutely free of charge if they love the Lord and they take up the cross and follow the Lord and keep the commandments and keep the rules at the church. Then, you know, you go through any trials and tribulations, just like, as I said, a hot knife through butter. All right, do we have another? That was it? Okay. Now, Sharon, go ahead and read that. You already finished that one. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, 8. Or let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 through 13. This will show you how the Apostle Paul went through persecutions because he said he beats his body black and blue. In other words, he puts himself, he had the mindset to put himself under the Word of God and to just go on no matter what happened and just to consider himself a living sacrifice, as he said in Romans 12, verse 1, a living sacrifice. We're living to do the work of the Lord. We're living because Christ, the life of God, is in us. Before we had the life of God in us, we were dead in our sins and trespasses, and we were on our way to hell. But now that we have God's life, which is Jesus, the Bible says that God's life is Jesus, and that all power in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. So God wouldn't have any power if it wasn't Jesus. Jesus is the life-giving Spirit of God. And so if we have the life-giving Spirit of God, which is Jesus, and it's also God the Father too, but all power in heaven and on earth belongs to me, Jesus said. Okay, so read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 through 13. And because the Lord lives inside of the Apostle Paul. The life of God is in him. He's able to die out to the world. Without the life of God in you, without being born again of the Holy Spirit, you can't overcome all these different depressions and despair and all the things that I mentioned. You can't break away from drugs or alcohol. You might go to some place and do it for a while, but you're still laboring and you're not keeping the commandments of the Lord. You're into entertainment, sports, and therefore you'll have pain and you'll have sickness, disease, and infirmity, so you can't be healed because the Lord isn't going to heal you unless you come unto Him and ask. If you ask, you'll receive, because the healing, and there's no one that's in the body of Christ if they go to the Lord and ask Him for something, He said, if you believe, if you have faith, everything comes by faith in what God says. In other words, what Jesus says, because Jesus is the Word of God, all right? So go ahead.
For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last.
Okay, so like I'm like an apostle. In order to qualify to be an apostle, you have to have seen Christ, and I saw Him with my eyes wide open. He appeared to me in the valley in Los Angeles when it was pitch dark. It was probably 1, 2, 3 in the morning. And I was in the darkest room that I've ever been in. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. And here this vapor came into the room. It was like a fluorescent light. And then it just made a sound that went and turned into a mirror and a looking glass. And it was a gold frame on it. And it lit up the whole room, and Jesus was sitting right in there, and He started talking to me, but I couldn't hear what He said, because it was like a radio going off and on, and the Lord was warning me that I'm not reading the Word enough, because we can't stand, we can't do a work for God unless we know what the Word of God says. How are we going to win any souls if we don't minister the Spirit? The Bible says that the Word of God is Spirit, and it is God's life, Jesus. So when you're receiving God's life, which is Jesus, the Word of God, then life will be in you, and you can be saved. And then you'll have all these benefits, and you can just thank and praise the Lord all the time and be happy, and that takes away all your depression and despair and all the things that the Lord tells you to do. I didn't even have to be told. I just gave up the old life. I mean, I've mentioned so many times, I just threw my Beatles album that I got from Pete Best in the garbage, and I threw my scrapbook with all my trophies in it and everything. And Susie told me to take it out of there, and I still have it today to show people. I'm not at all depressed about anything that I gave up. I count it nothing but, as the Apostle Paul said, nothing but dung. I've gained the Lord. I've gained eternal life. All that stuff is nothing. It's just nothing. It's garbage. Okay, then go ahead. Let's finish this.
For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world.
Yeah, appointed unto death. There isn't a day that goes by that I'm not threatened to be killed. This has been going on for 42 years, but it never stopped me. Because I know that the Lord's there, and I know that if I gave up, I'd be in hell in the lake of fire, and I know that I just feel the Lord has blessed me so much. I've been blessed far more than I ever was in the world. I made a lot of money out in the world, but I never even owned a house. I never owned anything, and the Lord has taken care of me ever since I've been saved, and I've never wanted for anything. If I needed something, all I have to do is ask the Lord, and He gives it to me. Then what?
For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake.
Yeah, a lot of people think I was a fool, even the whole entertainment industry. They thought I was a fool for receiving God's life, when in reality, they are the fools. Mm-hmm. Then what?
We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong.
He's talking to the Christians. We're weak because we have to put up with all your stuff. We hear all your complaints and all the same questions. New baby Christians get saved, and we have to take up that cross and just keep telling them the same things that we've told the people thousands of times. And people come in the church and try to tell me how to run the church, and of course, I'm a seasoned veteran. I know just exactly how to run the church and just exactly what to do and just exactly what to say. And so I know all these things already, and no young pup is going to come in and tell me how to run my church. The Lord has laid down the law of faith, and there is a law of faith. You can't receive anything without keeping the law of faith. Salvation comes by faith, healing comes by faith, finances come by faith, and prayer. All these things are with prayer. And the end of despair and depression and blues and all of these bad hooks that Satan has in you, like drugs and desire to commit suicide, alcohol, and hooked on sports and pornography and sex of all kinds of perversions and everything. These are hooks from Satan. Then, you know, our biggest enemies today are the different supposed to be churches. I mean, they gather with secret meetings, you know, in different towns, you know, about us. And the Lord just, all the time I see them taking their people's lives. And I'm still operating and expanding everywhere in the world. Yeah. And it's not me, it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. There's so few people that will do what I do that the Lord keeps me around, you know. I prefer to be with him after I saw him and he said, not now, you're not coming right now. That was the biggest disappointment of my entire life. I never thought it was death. It was like going into immortality, life in heaven and the beautiful. Now, there's nothing there that's made out of soil, dirt. It's like bright and gorgeous. And here it's everything is dull. Everything comes out of the ground and so on and so forth. I've said this many times. Okay, continue on, please.
Ye are honorable, but we are despised.
Yeah, we're despised, those of us that preach the gospel. Look at the chapter 11 of Revelation, where the two witnesses are so despised because they tormented the people of the earth by preaching the true gospel to them. Not that lovey-dovey, honey-coated garbage that people are preaching. But here you see Paul is going through all these things. He's not saying enjoy everyday life. It says like we're all the things that's happening to him is bad. It's just awful to the regular person. But the Lord tells us to, you know, when we're persecuted, don't worry about it. I was persecuted too. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they lied about me, and they're still lying about the Lord today, they're going to lie about me, all right? And, you know, the government says there's a separation between church and state, but they're always sending some agency over saying that we have to do this and do that, all these different things. And the things that are easy to do, we do, but what is contrary to the Word of God, we're not going to back down with them, okay? And that's... they've made up false charges about me. I've been to prison. I've been to jail for distributing literature. You know, and I've been stoned and beaten, but nothing discourages me because I'm dead. I'm mortal. I've like a heap of ashes. I'd like one of these living sacrifices. What could they do to me? What more can they do to you after you're dead? Amen?
Amen.
What can they do to me?
Amen.
All right, because... if they kill me, if I'm murdered by them, I'll be in heaven right away. And then they'll, you know, I pray that all these haters and people that are into false doctrine, like the Nicolaitans, that they'll see the light, that they'll see the Word of God, that they'll see Christ, and that they repent. Okay, go ahead.
Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst.
See, they go through hunger and they thirst. Well, they say, well, I thought you said Jesus would do this and that for you, you know, that he's not going to let you hunger and thirst. Well, Paul was told, you know, that he'd be killed if he went to Jerusalem. He still went. He didn't care about food that much. He's hungry and thirsty. You know, there's times that you'll do that. Maybe he was fasting and praying. All right, keep going.
Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands.
Yeah, we don't have any certain dwelling place. I mean, how do we know if there's persecution that comes and they pick you up? You might be in jail tomorrow. But the Lord is going to put you to the test. I've been put through it, and I came out as gold, right? The kingdom of heaven is made of gold, precious jewels, and pearls. All right, go ahead.
And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day.
Right, so the Apostle Paul is saying that everybody in the world thought he was evil. And the people today think that Jesus is evil. They're making up stories like he was married, that he was having a sordid sexual affair with. These people are, they don't know who they're fooling around with. Okay, now read, we just did 1 Corinthians 9 through 13. Let's do 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 12. Now, Paul couldn't have done these things unless he was dead to the world. He didn't consider himself anything but a heap of ashes before the Lord. So, everything is cut off. Everything is finished for him. This was the result of the same thing as the bullock being offered to God as a sacrifice. And since our consecration is also an offering unto God, the result has to be the same. And we just cut off. There must be the giving up of everything to be burned to ashes by God. And we're going to go through the fire to the point where all of our former life is finito, finished. There is, if there's any evidence of this relinquishing of all of you and burning to ashes, if it's not seen in a man, there is then something wrong with his consecration. Because the world, if you're still living a worldly life, you can't win souls because they see you out there living a worldly life. You have to be consecrated unto the Lord, separated from the world. That's when the light of Christ in you shines. When people invite you to drug to different parties, to drugs and alcohol sessions, and to booze halls and beer joints, or to sex or sex films or anything like that, you tell them, "No, I'm you know, Christ is in me, and I've become a living sacrifice." There's a lot of people that call themselves Christian that still have hopes after their consecration of becoming some kind of basketball player, football player, baseball player, or boxer, or some kind of an executive kind of person with a PhD. If that is so, then this proves that their future has not been given up. The future that I'm speaking of includes not only our future in the world, but I'm talking about also the future in the so-called Christian world. Everybody should know by now that if you've been saved for any length of time, how the world actually attracts us, you, and offers all kinds of deals, a hope of a future in the world. But even the so-called Christian world holds an attraction to many people that call themselves Christians. All of us that are Christians, actually. So all of us really receive this kind of temptation and offers a hope of a future in the Christian realm. There are some people, for example, who desire to be famous preachers, or they want to be worldwide evangelists or pastors, and some to obtain the degree of a doctorate of divinity. all these hopes for the future, brothers and sisters. If we have been truly born again, enlightened, we will discover that even in our hope for more fruit, to win more souls when you're in our work, our hope for more people to be saved through our preaching of the gospel, our hope to lead more brothers and sisters to love the Lord, and our hope for more local churches to be built by our hand. Even in these hopes, there are hidden many elements which are for the building up of our future, and that's supposed to have been done away with. When you say that was done away with me, I never wanted to be a worldwide preacher or anything. I just am like a heap of ashes, and when Susie died, the Lord, I prayed that I should win some. I want to do something for you, Lord, so what do you want me to do? He said, pray, you know, that you can write. And so I did, and I received it. And then he opened up these other doors, and now, you know, I am a worldwide, but I never desired it. I never did. I always push Susie to the front. Okay, finish off with these. So I don't want anything. Just let the Lord get into you and do his work in you, because it's all about him. It's not about you or me. It's the Lord. And when I'm bringing these messages, I don't want me to get involved with it. I want the Lord to break everything down to you so that it's coming from God, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, then what?
We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed.
Yeah, we're not distressed because we're a heap of ashes. We're dead. We're like men in a coffin. How could we be, shaped up if we're dead?
Amen.
We're what? Read that again.
We are troubled on every side.
Do you ever see a man in a coffin being troubled?
No.
He's dead.
Amen.
Okay, to the world. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Yet not distressed.
Oh, how can you be distressed? Then what? Because you got God with you. Amen?
Amen.
You have the life of God living in you. Then what?
We are perplexed, but not in despair.
You ever see a man in a coffin or a woman perplexed?
No.
Nope, they're just laying there, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing perplexes them. Okay, then what?
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
No, we're not forsaken because the Lord's in us. And then what?
Cast down, but not destroyed.
Yeah, we can't be destroyed if we're saved. If our body dies, that's just the shell. That's right. So, you know, you put on a glove, right? You put a glove on?
Mm-hmm.
That's just the shell for your hand, amen?
Amen.
Take the glove off, throw it on the ground. Are you going to miss it?
No.
No, the hand is still alive, right?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And then what?
Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus.
Right. We just die out. We have to be dead with Christ and take up the cross and follow him. That's the promise that I gave you, that if you use this, if you make this your mindset, all the things will slide off you just like the water on the back of a duck. My time is up, and I want to bring more of a message, but, you know, we only have an hour here, and that's it. So those of you that want to be able to cope with life, if you don't have life, then you can have it right now, God's life, because our lives without the Lord is worthless. But we can do something for God, and we can have satisfaction to know that we're born again of the Spirit and that we're doing something for mankind and for the Lord. There's nothing more that you could do for mankind than to let the Lord live in you and for you to just die out to yourself. All right?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't about self. It's about the Lord doing his work in and through you. So to be saved, to be born again of the Spirit, to be regenerated, say this prayer. And don't be afraid of life. This is life. It's not death. I'm not preaching death to you. I'm preaching life. Life eternal. The life that you have now is not really life. It's death. So say this prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now be baptized, fully submerged in water, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know how, I'll send you literature and tapes, and I'll tell you. Ask questions, and I'll send you the answers. Okay, and here's Sharon to tell you four different ways to receive a copy of program number 357.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, tune in tomorrow for another powerful message. And God bless you real good. And here's HB's choir. Pray for HB. Went into surgery, and he needs your prayers to recover. Here's his beautiful choir to sing the Life Prayer Song.